Blog Talk Radio.
You know that the ice cream scoop can make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the lawnmower makes life easier, that the blood bank makes life possible. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support the United Negro College Fund, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I want to thank everyone for tuning in today. If you missed the earlier show with Taina Seeley, please check out the archive. You can download the archive. You can also subscribe via iTunes to the podcast. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. This second half, we're going to be talking about things that legal documents and things that women need to know for their life. I have a wonderful lawyer calling in, and I think it's important. A lot of times we're just going through life, we're trying to pay our bills, get by, but we don't think about wills. We don't think about legal things until something goes wrong. Tamika Washington is in Philadelphia, and she has a wide range of experience as a family, employment, and real estate lawyer. She's the owner of her own law firm, and she provides representation in dependency, child custody, child support, criminal proceedings, and business planning. She is also, which she didn't say at first when I was speaking with her, but she is the vice president of the National Bar Association Women Lawyers Division here in Philadelphia. And I believe this is her calling in right now.
Yes. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, Tamika. Thank you for joining this morning.
Thank you for having me.
We got connected through a friend, Uva Coles, and I was thinking, like, what can I talk about, you know? But there's so many things to talk about. We only have 30 minutes, you know? But let's start off. What is your main specialty? What do you think you do most in terms of your legal work?
I tend to do more family law. It seems as though that that specialty is needed in my area, and I do a lot of dependency law. I do wills, drawing up legal documents. I find that there is quite a need for that.
So in terms of a will, I mean, say somebody's 25 years old. You know, a woman's 25. Maybe she just got out of school. I mean, at 25, does she need to think about a will? And how much is it going to cost her to create a will?
Absolutely. At any age, there are no matter where you are in life, unmarried, married, kids, you're going to have people that you love. And if something happens to you in this day and age, we all know that something can happen to you at any age. You want your family members or your loved ones to have those things that you might treasure. You might not have a dollar to your name, so you think, but there are some things that you possess that you would like to pass down to a niece or a nephew.
Now, how much is it going to cost? How much would it cost if they came to you or to another lawyer in general?
It can cost anywhere between $250 to $400, depending on the context, like how much property the person might have and all the different things that have to be thought about and the different provisions in the will. So it's a relatively inexpensive document in the fact that you're talking about, you know, your life here. This is your property and what's important to you. So
now, if you don't have a will, I mean, I know I've read things about taxes and the state and people taking, if you do have, you know, money or items, and then that takes away from, if, like, say you have, you know, $20,000, I guess they can take a percentage. Talk about that. If you don't have a will and you pass away, what happens to the things that you have?
Well, unfortunately, you have to pay taxes no matter what. You have to pay taxes whether you write a will or whether you don't write a will, because unfortunately, the government is going to get its little bit. And so you can make a provision in your will that states how your taxes will be paid. Usually your taxes will come out of your estate, and you can make a specific provision in your will. Make sure that when you contact your attorney or if you contact my office that you state that in your will.
Mm-hmm.
It will come out, unfortunately.
Now, you talk about family law. We have a huge number of single parents, single women with children these days, and they're trying to balance, you know, the lives of the children with the fathers, trying to balance their finances. In terms of child custody, what are some things that, women should know in terms of filing for child custody?
Well, I think one of the first things that women should know is a lot of women do not understand that until an event occurs to turn the court otherwise, that mm-hmm. mother and father have equal rights to a child. When a child is born, mom and dad have equal rights to that child. So if, you know, I've had a lot of women come to me and say, well, how can he just keep the child for an extended period of time? We said that he was only going to have the child this weekend. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's when the courts come in. That's where if you guys don't agree on custody or anything, you know, a person can go down to 34 South 11th Street, file a petition. It's quite inexpensive. It ranges anywhere from $40 to $70 to either start a petition or have make a modification, a change mm-hmm. to a custody petition and ask that the court make a decision as to, you know, who has the child when, or is it joint
right.
custody, is it just visitation on the weekends, every other weekend. And sometimes, you know, you'll be amazed that once someone goes down there, you can mm-hmm. come to an agreement. Once the other side sees, hey, she's serious, or hey, he's serious
right.
about this, maybe we can come to an agreement, go before a master, and get a shorter date.
Now, there's something different. There's legal custody and there's physical custody. Talk about those
absolutely.
Two different things.
Absolutely. Well, legal custody of a child says, I make the decisions about this child, the everyday decisions. Where does the child go to school? His or her doctors, that kind of thing. That's legal custody. Physical custody is where I have that particular person has the child on during that time. Now, physical
mm-hmm.
custody can mean, you know, partial or full. And in the state of Pennsylvania, it's actually quite an anomaly, but partial custody can just mean visitation. It doesn't necessarily have to mean, like, you have the child half the week and I have a child half the week. It can mean
mm-hmm.
just
so many different
that
options.
Portion of visitation. So
right.
Legal custody gives more power. And physical custody says, okay, this child is with me on an ongoing basis. And usually, you know, the court wants to give one person
the main custody.
The majority, the main custody, where
now
they would have legal and physical custody of the
right.
child. Because it can get confusing if you have one person that has legal and another person has physical.
That has physical, right.
Because the person who has the child every day is going to know what's going on with the child. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, they separate child custody and child support. Let's talk about child support, because you
yeah.
can file for child support and not for child custody, or vice versa. So what are the steps
absolutely.
The same for child support as they are for child custody?
No, it's a different kind of petition that you file for. You would just go down. When you went out to 34 South 11, there's like a waiting area. You would tell them what you want. There are times where the mother and the father may agree on custody, like, okay, I get the child on 3 days or whatever, but there
mm-hmm.
may be some disagreement as to how much money is needed. That's where the support actually comes in. And you would file a petition stating, you know, you need help, this person's not paying, or they're not paying enough. And that's also a minor fee as well.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, many people have to file those, and it's supposed to be based on the other person's income. Sometimes that can get miscalculated, so you'll find the other side, you'll find a lot of, I hate to say this, but you'll find a lot of dads going back and filing a change,
modification mm-hmm.
of
right.
support because they feel that, wait a minute, this is crazy. There's no way I can pay $300 a week or whatever.
We just finished talking about the child custody, child support. Maybe we should back up a little bit in terms of, you know, you have relationships as a woman, you have relationships with people, and sometimes things don't work out, and you may need to get a restraining order.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yes. This is, unfortunately, a hot topic in many, many cities, especially Philadelphia. And it's the same courthouse, 34 South 11th Street, in the city of Philadelphia, for an emergency order. You can get an emergency restraining order at any time of night. You can go down there and let the court know that you're in fear of your life. However, I would caution anyone who goes down there that they should remember that this is someone's life that you're going down there about. This is not a way to get back at a person. This is mm-hmm. not, I'm angry at him. He did this to me. He did that to me. He went and got a girlfriend, so now I'm going to go and say that he should stay away from me and my child. That's mm-hmm. not the purpose of a restraining order. And also, just legally, for those kind of orders, it must be a blood connection, sexual relationship, or biological parental connection. So, for example,
now, do you need a lawyer to do this? Because, I mean, a lot of times people who are in situations, when we talk, I'll talk about the domestic violence issue, which is a huge, huge issue in so many communities. And unfortunately, I'm not a man basher. Anybody who listens to my show, I am not a man basher. But unfortunately, 95% of domestic violence is a man against a woman. So they're fearful. Yeah, you don't need a lawyer. Okay, so if you're in a situation and you're listening to the show, you do not need a lawyer to go file a restraining order. And again, as Tamika mentioned, this is not to get back at someone. But if you are in a serious situation, don't second guess yourself. If somebody's hitting you, somebody's constantly putting you down, somebody's controlling you, somebody's stopping you from going where you're going, they're stalking you, you're checking your emails, your phone, they're at your job. A lot of domestic violence situations happen at employment in employment situations, unfortunately. And a lot of businesses now are creating rules and regulations to help their employees. And also federal laws have been made, I know, correct, in terms of domestic violence leaves. Like you have family. Yes. Do you want to talk about that for a minute? Are you familiar with that area in terms of people being able to take a leave of absence from their job?
Leave of absence from the job, you mean for domestic violence?
Yes, for domestic violence.
Occurred.
Yes.
Wow, that's a fairly new area. I guess in the case of if a person is hurt as a result of some kind of violence that went on, then that will come under a family leave.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm not yet well versed in that area.
Okay, well, let's talk about somebody in the chat room was asking me. I'm not sure if you're that familiar, but they're talking about women who are incarcerated and things that they need or can do to help their situation. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that area. Are you at all familiar with that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
When I was a DHS attorney, we had to deal with a lot of parents, especially women that were incarcerated. Basically, while you are incarcerated, if, for example, your children are in foster care, you still have rights. You still have rights to have your children visit you. Don't think that because you are incarcerated that you can't see your kids and there's nothing you can do and I'm just going to roast in jail for 3 years and who knows what's going to happen to my children.
Mm.
Absolutely not. If you have perfectly capable family members who are willing to take custody of the children, then they should most certainly go down to the Department of Human Services and request that the court look at them as possible caregivers for your children. And it's the duty of the department to make sure that the children are with capable family members first before going to foster care. In cases where the children are court involved, the court must award visitation to the parents. Now, there are some cases where the parent is incarcerated out of state or the parent is incarcerated 6 hours away.
Right.
If the child is very, very young. In those kinds of cases, it's up to the court to award visitation. However,
the woman is pregnant when she gets incarcerated? How is that? Is that what? Because did they take the child away immediately? How does that work? Are they able to stay with the child
there
for a short period in nurseries?
There are some prisons that have nurseries. There are some prisons where that is possible. It is really, it's right on the walk the line kind of thing right now, where it's up to the best interest of the child. The standard in dependency law is what is the best interest for this particular child. Now, you might have one child that, okay, the judge allows the child to stay in the nursery, or the court thinks that there's family that's close by that can take care of that child and allow the child to see the mom more often than most incarcerated parents. Or there's some cases where it's like, you know what, we're going to have to put this child in foster care, or we're going to have to put this child with a relative because a prison nursery may not be the best
environment. May not be the best place.
A very young child. And then also sibling, you have to think about whether the child has siblings. Would the child want to be with those siblings, know his or her siblings? Back in Philadelphia, for example, if mom's incarcerated in Erie, that kind of thing. So you have all those considerations.
Different, but it depends on the prison, depends on the state, and depends,
absolutely,
I guess, on the person with the crime. We want to talk a little bit about discrimination. People who are working, women unfortunately still make less than men. Women are still being looked over for different non-traditional positions, different IT positions. Maybe they want to become a construction worker. There's so many areas, unfortunately, women are still getting discriminated against. What power does a woman have nowadays to fight against that if she thinks that she's on the job and she's being discriminated against, or she's trying to get a job and she's being discriminated against? What can she do?
She can, first, if she thinks that something's going on in her job, she can first address it with human resources. If she finds that human resources is not helping, or they're covering up, or they're blaming it back on her, then she can go to the director of the company, or then go to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, or the Pennsylvania Human Rights Commission, and make a report. And what they would do is have an investigation of the case and see if this is valid, you know, is she really being discriminated against, and then they can send her a right to sue letter, basically saying that, okay, you can now sue if you really believe that you're being discriminated against.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's going on more often than we think. So
now, how should she be tracking? Like, I mean, should she be keeping her emails? Should she be backing up on the flash drive? What is the clincher? Because, I mean, people, like you said, yes, it's happening a lot, but what's the clincher to get it to the next level, to get it recognized, to get some resolution? What should she have in her back pocket, so to speak?
Without providing legal advice, I would say that she should keep everything. You know, just back up, for example, work emails. Mm-hmm. She might want to email them to herself, her own personal email address.
Mm-hmm.
Documents that, say, for example, an evaluation, an employment evaluation, and whether she gets it every 6 months, every year, whatever, she should keep those things. Make copies of those things. Insist that the supervisor or the human resources manager make a copy of those things on an ongoing basis, you know, because that's sort of thing you should keep anyway, whether you feel you're being discriminated against or not. She should also consult with an attorney because over time, you don't want to also commit acts would be held against you too. You may think that you're being discriminated against, and then subconsciously you may do something at work that they can say, wait a minute, you were late, they could have watched you, and they can find, unfortunately, in the state of Pennsylvania, it's quite a Quaker state. Employers have a lot of leeway, and they can fire you at will. Yes, they must fire you for cause, but they can fire you at will. So anything, almost anything can get you fired. So you have to be so careful. Talk to a lawyer. Make sure that your T's are crossed, your I's are dotted, and go from there.
Now, you also, let's talk a little bit about the issue of business, women business owners. Can you talk about some documents? Say you want to start a business, some things that you might want to have if you're starting by yourself, a business. What, can you talk about some documents or, you know, incorporation and things of that nature?
Yes. Many women opt to incorporate, get a corporate status so that your personal assets are protected. As you know, if anything goes wrong, someone decides to sue you, your house, your personal things can go up. You can be have a judgment against them. So you should consider undertaking a corpus status. It's about $275.
Now, is there any, like, website or place that you would suggest they go to try to...
The Secretary of State website has... There's a website for incorporation. You can do a regular corporation, a limited liability corporation, or a professional corporation, and all those are explained on that website. For example, there are some women that would like to start a nonprofit. You can easily either consult with an attorney, because an attorney can tell you all your different options. You can also go to the library and look up some books on how to start a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure there are many different requirements for those kinds of organizations, as you can imagine, because there's different tax considerations. You have to pay certain taxes.
I'm putting some stuff in the chat room now about that address for the childsupport.state.pa.us, the EEOC.gov. I just put some information about starting a nonprofit. So if you're in the chat room, I'll try to post some stuff on my website also. Now, if someone wants to contact you, Tamika, to get your services, is there a phone number where they can reach you?
Absolutely. My number is 267.
Mm-hmm.
978-2223. 267-978-2223. I also have a Facebook page, the Law Offices of Tamika Washington.
Okay.
And you can go on there. My information's on there, my hours. I'm at 18th and JFK. And anybody who wants to contact me, you know, I'm available, and, you know, when you need a lawyer that cares, you can definitely contact me.
So we have a couple minutes left. What are some things, other things that women need to know in terms of legal matters that they may carp up in their lifetime? What about in terms of life insurance and leaving, is that part of the will process?
Well,
a lot of people don't have life insurance unless they have kids. Is that...
Right. There's two separate, actually, I had life insurance before I even got married or anything. those kinds of things. Life insurance is something separate from a will, but you can take out a life insurance policy for pennies a month. And it can be $1 million life insurance. It can be less than that. And you also want to think about, okay, how much money do I make a year? If I die, will the people that I love, will they be able to take care of themselves? Will my spouse be able to take care of themselves? Will my my partner be able to take care of themselves? Let's say I live with my mom and I'm supporting my mom. Will she be able to take care of herself after I die? Those kinds of things you want to think about. And then who's going to be my beneficiary? Is it going to be my child, my husband, a parent? At one time when I was single, it was my brother and my mother. So, you know, you have to think about all those different things. And it's not...
So you kind of think about these things yearly, too. I would say yearly, maybe people need
to
check their different documents, you know, because things change.
Over time, because unfortunately people pass or people get married, they have children, and also you want to think of your beneficiaries may change too, because your child may get married, they have their own lives to think about. So you want to think about, okay, who can take care of me? And also, I just wanted to bring up very quickly, I know we only have like 1 or 2 minutes, a living will. Where you can say, hey, in case of this situation, I would like to be taken care of this way. In case I can't speak for myself,
mm-hmm.
in case, God forbid I'm in a coma, I don't want this kind of nutrition, or I do want food and water, or whatever specifications you would like. Some people don't want them to be resuscitated after they going under a coma, or if they flatline, as far as, you know, the heart machines and stuff. So You have to think about those things. Who are you going to appoint to take care of your health care matters if you can't speak for yourself? That's a health care proxy. So all those.
Now, how much does something like that might cost? And we talked about the regular will costing like, you know, $200 to $400. The living will, is that a similar price range or?
Yes. You can actually, depending on the attorney, you can work it out where that is part. That would be like the next page or of the will. That would be another document, but it would be part of it. Your who you appoint as your healthcare proxy, that can also be called your aid, your power of attorney or your agent. And you can also say, hey, this is not going to take place until I am incapacitated, until I am under a coma or I can't speak for myself. So all those things you want to think about as a woman and in your everyday life.
Right. Well, I want to thank you so much. I mean, we just ran the gamut, child custody, child support, restraining orders. Again, people, if you're out there, you do have power. I think education is important, and that's why I continue to do the show. And I want to thank everybody for listening this Saturday. Please follow me on twitter.com/joykeys. Also, you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. If you're interested in getting Tamika's services, you can call her at 267-978-2223. Again, that's 267-978-2223. Again, thank you so much, Tamika. I think I learned a lot myself.
Thank you for having me.
You have a wonderful Saturday. And everybody, tune in. Thank you. Tune in next Saturday, 11 a.m. Eastern, Sweet Honey and the Rock. Sweet Honey and the Rock. And if you know them, you know you got to tune in. Some wonderful global sounds again. You can check out their website, sweethoney.com. Again, 11 a.m. Eastern next Saturday, March 20th. Also, we'll be talking about great authors of the book Shifting. You can check out my webpage to learn more about them. That's at 11:30 next Saturday, March 20th. I encourage you to think about love in your life. I think that's a really important issue that come from a point of love, and a lot of things can be resolved. A lot of things can be overcome. A lot of things can come to you if you're at a point of love. So I just want to shout that out today about love. And I want to end with Taina Asili. She was on the show earlier, her song, Love.